I think it's like just, it's just a very blurry memory of me being out in the play park. And I think it's about mom coming to tell me like that I'm gonna go to, like, it's not really daycare and it's not really school. It's like something we call lekis in Sweden.
What was your favorite thing in that playground?
It was like, I think it was a pretty shit playground, actually, when you start thinking about it.
Like all things from childhood when you revisit.
Yeah, but it was also quite a cool playground because it was like, you know, before all these health and safety standards. I remember I've been going back there, like later on, just, you know, going for drives back memory lane. Whenever I'm back in Sweden, I usually go there and you see that all of these things have changed now. It was like a slide with no like sides on it. And then there was like a little tiny little sand pit, and then there were some swings. Like that was it. Like it wasn't really, but it was also a forest next to it. So I think the forest was probably where, like, where it was the most fun to be.
What about you, Anna?
I whenever you asked us to do this, I actually listened to your interview with Gary Lightbody, and you asked him this. And at the time, I was going, what is my earliest memory?
Make a mental note.
And it's funny too, because I think so many of your memories are connected to pictures. But then I was like, well, one thing I do remember, and there's definitely not a picture of this, is because I lived in Northern Ireland in the countryside, and we don't have the luxury of playgrounds there.
Shots fired.
I live in the countryside, and my uncle's a farmer, and so I used to play with my cousins on the farmyard all the time. And I think they must have been building some sheds or something. But being out where all the slats were on the ground, looking at something on the ground with my cousin, like really intently, as you only can do as a child, and finding an eerie wig.
Oh, yes.
And my memory is just completely surrounded by this eerie wig. And like, I hate creepy crawlies. I hate anything that I like. Crawls or does anything. So I don't know. I don't really know what the memory's about. It's just about the eerie wig. And that's maybe where my hatreds stemmed from.
Unbelievable. So yeah, look, hello and welcome to Best of Belfast, the podcast that celebrates Northern Ireland and the incredible people in it. We've already been hearing today from Anna and Carl Isaacson, who are the founders of Hotbox, Northern Ireland's first ever beach sauna experience. So the idea, look, it's unbelievably simple, but it's utterly genius. And it's what if after a cold plunge in the sea, you could cozy into a sauna and sweat it out with your nearest and dearest. Hotbox is an authentic Finnish wood-burning sauna located primarily at Benone Beach on the Causeway Coast. And you can book your own hot slot over at their website, www.hotboxseasauna.com.
Can we steal that intro?
Yeah, that was much better than
It's yours. There you go. Take it whenever you want.
Stars now.
I can't express to you how excited I am to do this today. Like, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I am an absolute sauna addict. Like, in a pre-pandemic world, BC, before COVID, I would be in the sauna like nearly every day. And I've been like an addict having withdrawal symptoms because all the saunas have closed.
You're like our prime customer. It's
I fit directly in like your target market, like all the wee like market research and stuff you're doing. It's like, this guy, this is the one, and
how do we get this guy into our sauna?
And literally, like over the weekend there, got to experience this unbelievable sauna on the beach. And I just, like, there was tears of joy shed in that sauna. Like, you're probably having to clean up like different kinds of salt water because it was just me being like, I miss this so much. And I just, like, I'm so in awe of what you guys have created. Like, and even from a distance, like whenever, like, I got about 20 WhatsApps from mates being like, have you seen this? Have you seen they're starting this? And I was like, already was so in awe. But to actually go, it's one of those few times in life where you've got really high expectations and you go and it exceeds expectations. So
that's so good.
There's like a huge testimony to start the show. For the actual where we're going next, and just now I just remembered that mysterious fact, and I just maybe want to start there. So how have you worked for a king, Carl? And how have you kissed a king, Anna? Like, what the heck is going on there?
I think the story, like, that was one of those questions we had to fill in, and we were just thinking a little bit, and then eventually you just came up with something. I think the interesting story is your connection to the king, because my connection to the king is a little bit.
Is it the same king?
No.
Right, it's not even, the same even king. Crazier.
Well, the thing about Carl and I is we've pretty much done every job underneath the sun between the two of us.
Right.
And when you met the king, you were working as a marquee constructor in Sweden.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's the king of Sweden. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. because it wasn't a very memorable meet in a way. I think we just exchanged a couple of words. But no, we were setting up the marquee for the princess's wedding.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
And he just came out with the queen as well.
Flip me, Queenie was there too?
Yeah, King and Queen. Maybe D. Trumpman, I don't know.
And are they like really big names in Sweden, or is it like bumping into like your mate in the street?
They're B celebrities. No, they're still a big deal. Nice. I would say it's maybe not the same as in the UK, where there's like a lot of like real
royalists.
Yeah, well, I would say like it's strange. Sweden shouldn't be a royalist country, but it is still. There's no political party that has it on their agenda to remove them from the thrones.
Crazy.
So they still have popularity, and they're nice. But they're a big deal. Even I was like quite nervous, like that was when he walked out, and then he started asking me this like a couple of questions about what we were doing and stuff, and I was like, oh god, like this is quite special.
And so like, I mean, whenever I first read that, or in my head, I'm kind of like, you know, did you kiss like the like something niche, like the king of rock and roll, or like the king of like hot chilies or something, or like what's your
story? Well, I think this makes it really disturbing. I think at the time I was probably about 6 years old. My family, like my dad's a super keen sailor, and we used to like sail everywhere. And one year we were sailing around Ireland and we landed on Tory Island. I don't know if you know, but I don't know if there is anymore because he died, but there was a king of Tory Island, Patsy Dan. And he was the official king of Tory Island. And they were having a ceilidh down in the bar one night and everybody's joining in. And I was about 6 years old and I just started Irish dancing. And my mom and dad were like, go on, you have to dance. You have to dance for everybody. So they got me up and like this tiny little thing. And I did an Irish dance and the king was very impressed and he came over and gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Happy days.
Yeah, kissed the king.
Epic.
I know.
Now, was he a king though?
He's a king.
No. You told your king story. Like, let's not try to ruin other people's king stories.
Do you know what? We found out he died on our wedding day and I was...
That's gone.
I was genuinely really upset. Because my friends and I, we went back to Tory Island a few years ago and we were so excited because the king would come down and greet you off the boat.
Hilarious.
We were so excited to meet the king again.
The king.
I didn't tell him that he had kissed me when I was six, but just excited to meet him again. And then, yeah, we found out he died on my wedding day.
Crazy.
So really spoiled the whole day for me.
So, I mean, you know, let's go back to the wedding then. You're like, oh my goodness, what the heck's coming next? Like, how does a woman who grew up on a farm in Northern Ireland who was kissed by a king... end up marrying a Swedish fella who worked for a king?
Hard work and a lot of chasing.
Right?
No, I don't know. Well, I think I'm a bit like you. Straight after school, wanted to get out of Northern Ireland. So went travelling, did a few ski seasons, went to uni down in south of England. Was studying architecture and then kind of eventually realised didn't want to be an architect. Quite late on too, actually. So I'd done like a few ski seasons out in Switzerland and I was like, you know what? Actually, no, it was after I was living in London for a bit and got a bit fed up of the London life. So went back out to Switzerland again. And it's actually really embarrassing because it's so cliche. But we were having a staff training day and Carl was my ski instructor for the day. I know it's so embarrassing. I hear it.
It was a group lesson.
It was a group lesson.
Like, it makes
and
it
you know what? He managed to lose the rest of the group accidentally. Was impressing me with his backflips.
I know you Swedish guys are like.
And it's hard to imagine now, but at the time he had long hair up in a ponytail and that was
the ponytail.
That was cool.
That's what did it for you,
was it?
Yeah.
Cool, a little man bun.
It's all fallen off now.
No, but actually then it turned out, like, I think I came back from that day skiing and was just like, oh, I had such a fun day today. He was such a cool guy. Carl, meanwhile, pretty much had the worst day of his life. Because you'd lost your phone.
I lost my phone on the
backflip when he was impressing me.
Funny thing is that we got it back half a year later.
What?
Guy just cycling around in the mountains, found my phone.
Mental.
Still working.
What?
Posted it to me. Got so I got all the old photos and stuff on it.
Because we were living in Sweden by that stage. Crazy. And this French guy was like, hey, dude, I found your phone. And I was like, yeah, can you post it to me in Sweden?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
What a guy.
Yeah. So after we.
If he listens, thank you so much.
That French cyclist, like, he's a big fan of the show.
Right? Yeah.
As is the king of Sweden. Yeah. Earlier.
Yeah.
They're big supporters.
Big listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like love at first sight, I wouldn't say, or anything like that. But yeah, I just kind of started hanging out more and more throughout the season. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty intense period of time as well. And it grew and grew, and then I started to like think more and more, like, this girl is really something special. And then we had like a pretty crazy year as well, because we stayed in Switzerland over the summer. We were working out there, living with some friends of ours, had a really, really good time. But then actually I got diagnosed with lymphoma cancer.
I didn't see that coming.
Neither did I. it's the most bizarre, like...
we had been dating for like 4 or 5 months at that point.
Yeah, and that was an instant kill of the ponytail. That just fell straight off, didn't it?
Oh, dude.
It was bizarre. It was really... really unexpected. I just started feeling really I was sure I had like kidney stones because I was googling all these things, and I was like, what is going on? Like, it's just so painful. And went to the doctors, and they sent me off to a scan down the valley, and a day later we had the news, and I was like, worst anxiety ever.
Before we even left the doctor's office, I had like texted my friends and was just like, find us the first flights back to Sweden. So they obviously knew, okay, something really serious is going on. And yeah, we got home, packed our bags. And I remember your mom calling me and saying, Anna, are you coming too? And it was like, hadn't even registered with me that I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And I think there was just the relief in her voice when I was like, yeah, I'm on the flight, I'm coming. Mm. And it was like really just like instinct, like, yeah, of course I'm going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's how you ended up in Sweden?
That's how I ended up in Sweden, yeah.
And so what treatment, how long was it? What
was it was actually, well, to be honest, like, could have been a lot worse. It was fairly straightforward once I got, like, the crazy thing was just the few initial first weeks, because that was when all the...
So intense.
It was like a lot of crazy thoughts and anxiety around it. Like, once the treatment got started, it was like very much just rigid. Like, you have chemotherapy every two weeks?
So blurry.
But it was a lot of in and back and forth to the hospital, but everything went to plan.
You were there, everybody was saying, you know what, you're really lucky, because if you're going to get cancer, this is the type of cancer you
want to
get.
What a wild thing to say.
Yeah. I know, but actually it's so reassuring at the time, because when you hear the word cancer, you just freak out, right?
Yeah, you go to one place, don't you?
Yeah. And then when people are saying, and then all of a sudden people are saying, don't worry, like, my cousin had this, or my nephew had this. And then you're thinking, okay, this is a curable type of cancer. Mm. Like, for so many people, it's not. Mm. And then, when you started the treatment, it was just like, we go to treatment and then we come home and we chill out. We were still climbing and stuff.
I think that was also, I don't know if it was like thinking period or it seemed like having Anna there was like such a, I don't know, it was such a like unique experience somehow to go through, and to have her there was made me realize like kind of what I really appreciate about her and how like fantastic she is.
So how do you go from Sweden, and feel free to fill me in on all the gaps here. Like, how do you go from Sweden to Northern Ireland then?
Oh, via Scotland. So we only live in countries that begin with S.
Important.
Until we got to Northern Ireland. like, before when we were living in Switzerland that summer, we had both decided, Carl was kind of, you were kind of fed up as a ski instructor, and I was kind of working for like a very, very, one of the world's like most like top chalet companies. So dealing with like really... like rich, wealthy people, like both of us were. And we were both just a bit fed up with it. And then my sister and her husband run like the family business over in Scotland, which is a holiday park, and they have like a bar restaurant there, and they were looking for someone to come and run the bar restaurant. So we had kind of been planning to go to Scotland to do that because we just didn't know what else to do.
Well, the plan for that was like just a summer job, to just like, because we would save up more money doing that than to stay in Switzerland.
It's expensive, but
that was the plan originally, just to do that as a summer job. But then I think also with the treatment and everything, I was out of that treatment around like sort of beginning of January. So it was almost like that ski season was never going to happen anyway. So
we ended up without really meaning to, going back to Scotland then eventually for my sister and her husband, and then running this pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
And like neither of us had a chefing background anyway. And all of a sudden we were like managing running a kitchen, which is kind of hilarious. And we did that for a couple of years. And then the winters, instead of doing ski seasons, we actually just went exploring, and we went to Canada one year and did like a mini ski season and stuff. And
yeah, no work, just holiday, like a 2 month holiday.
I mean, we aren't people who save money. Yeah. We just earn it all and then go and like blow it all in those sorts of like saving for the future. Really bad idea. So we did that for a couple of years, and then just like the year we were getting married, we kind of knew we didn't really want to do another. Like, I think family businesses are really great and stuff, but I think it's also like it wouldn't have worked long term. And I think both like my sister and husband and we realized that, and we were like, you know what, we need to go and find our own way now. We can't stay any longer. And we were kind of looking for different things that we could do together, and we had no idea. So like Carl's a ski instructor, I had like an architecture background, then working for artists in London, then working for Chalet Company, and then a pizza kitchen. So we've, like I've said, we've done every job under the sun. So we didn't really know what to do. And then there was like a school up for sale, like close to where we live in Northern Ireland. And we thought this would be a really good opportunity to come home and set up a business. And we wanted to set up a boutique hostel. Mm. So we actually moved home for that.
Wow.
And spent a year and a half waiting for the seal to go through.
No way.
Yeah. And like in the meantime, like I had got another job. Carl was kind of struggling to get work, but just doing odd
cash
ends
in hand
and
stuff,
pieces. And then I got pregnant.
No.
I don't know how that happened. Yeah, at that point we were like,
oh boy.
Oh boy. And it got to the point where I was like 8 months pregnant and the seal of this school still hadn't gone through. And we were like, you know what? They turn around to us tomorrow and say, okay, that's it. Like, are we really prepared to take on this huge project? Yeah. So we actually like withdrew our offer at that point.
It's probably a good thing since COVID happened anyway.
Yeah,
well,
like, yeah.
Dodged
the bullet for sure.
And you know, people kept saying to us, if it's not for you, you know, it'll pass you by. And it's, and actually afterwards, I'm like, you know, I'm so glad that happened. But yeah, then pretty much like 8 weeks after our son was born, we started talking again about, okay, what should we do? What should we do? And then we decided we'd start a food truck because, you know,
that's
pizzas, like we can do that.
Plus, when the pandemic hits, it's like you either can start a food truck or you can start a podcast. Those are your two options.
That's And we're obviously terrified by podcasts, so we can do that. So we actually called up my brother-in-law because he's really good with the whole vehicle. He's really into his cars and his vehicles. And I was like, right, Jack, find me a good vehicle that we can do a food truck with. And he wrote back. He's like one of these guys that has all these like really crazy ideas. Wrote back with this article linked to, was like the Irish Times or something like that. It was just like, nah, you don't want to do a food truck. You want to do this instead. And it was an article to like these mobile spas happening all around the south of Ireland, one of which was a sauna. And we literally just like about a week later hopped in the car with our son and just started driving around Ireland and like going and visiting all these different mobile spas. And somehow by the end of it, we were like, this is a pretty good idea.
You also say, all of them is a little bit an exaggeration. There's not that many.
Two. Yeah.
All two of them.
Like I said, you guys on Saturday,
there was
dreamer and realist, just constantly like meeting in the middle. I love it.
I've been thinking about that quote a lot. I think it's more actually dreamer and pessimist sometimes.
or real estate.
Someone who reels
it. You have to spin it. You have to spin it and make it sound nicer, Carl. Come on.
All right. Yeah, no, but it was, there was, like, we had one third one, I think, planned in, but that didn't, we didn't.
It was closed at the time because we were there, like, early February. So we literally just, like, kind of got this trip done and came home, and then a month later lockdown happened, or 6 weeks or something. So we were actually really lucky. Mm. And we came home and we kind of said to my parents, like, well, we've got this idea. Mm. And
they were like, what's summer?
Yeah, pretty much. It seemed like as every other person in the country, and you say, oh, we're doing a sauna, and they're like, is that like those steam rooms?
Carl's like triggered. He's like,
no, those are called steam rooms. This is a sauna. It's like slightly different. But that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, back in Sweden, like Carl's family, it's really cool whenever you describe to people they live on an island outside of Gothenburg.
Of course.
Yeah, as you do. And they have a sauna in their house, as you do.
Of course.
So you go jump into the water, and like in wintertime, there's snow on the ground, and you go jump into the water, but you know you're jumping into a sauna afterwards. It's real, and it's like this amazing sensation, like as you experienced at the weekend when you're in the icy cold water, and then you go into a sauna. It's like this sensation that comes over your body. It's good, right? So every time we were like cold water swimming back home in Benoam Beach or whatever, you always come out of the water and you're like, oh, wish I had a sauna. Wouldn't it be so good with the sauna? So I guess there was like a little bit of that always in the back of our heads, but we never really thought about it as a business. But then when we happened to find out that, oh, this is something other people are doing and it is a business, we're like, maybe there's something in this.
So like, you would have grown up with a sauna then, Carl?
No, that's built later, after I kind of...
They turned his bedroom into sauna.
The ultimate early nest car move. It's like boom. So what were both of your kind of experiences with saunas before owning your own?
I mean, I've always like it's not the same in where I'm from in Sweden as it is, say, in Finland and the Baltic nations, where it's a really, really big part of the culture. But I do think still that Swedes they use the sauna more like frequently, and it's a little bit more of a like normalized thing, I suppose. Like everybody like knows exactly what a sauna is and what you do in it and stuff. So I always love like just sitting in it and heat up. It's like, it's a lovely way of relaxing and just, you know, like from muscle recovery, everything, like after an activity, it's really nice to go in. So, I mean, I've been sort of like a regular sauna user, I think, all my life.
I think because like in the UK, like most saunas you use are, you know, like in a health center or a swimming pool or whatever. So obviously I've had a lot of that. And then like I think my first proper sauna experience was I was living in Stockholm. I was studying there and I lived with this man who was a yoga instructor with him and his daughter, and he was like, you have to come to one of my classes. He was mental. He's called Hanzano. He was great.
Great name.
Such a great name. And he was like, you have to come to one of my yoga classes. So eventually one week he like dragged me along and we did this yoga session. And then afterwards, everybody goes into the sauna and they were actually male and female. So you did have to strip down.
Yeah.
That terrified me, getting naked in front of people. We don't make people do that in our sauna.
I was going to say, so like in Germany, you have to go full nude, or like anywhere, like Iceland.
But it's actually more, what's the word?
Hygienic.
Yeah. And then you sit on a towel, so it's not like you're touching the benches with your bare bum.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we went in like...
That just wouldn't fly in Northern Ireland. No. I actually was going to joke with you on Saturday. It's like, so do we need to like strip down here? Because I was like, yeah.
Well, the council already like said to us on so many occasions, no nudity, no nudity. It's a public beach. But yeah, so like I went to this sauna. So I was in with all these women and it was like the middle of winter time. And then they were like, and now we have to go jump in the water. And I didn't know what to do. So I literally went and like full on jumped in. And like had a swim around and got out, and then the ladies I was with just all went down the ladder and dipped to the bodies. So I was like, oh, okay. But like when you go back into the sauna again, and I think that was the first experience of sauna I had where I was just like, this is so amazing. And I kind of forgot that I was naked and was just like so chilled out, relaxed, and was like, oh, can we do that again? That was so good. So
absolutely.
That was my first proper proper
made it's experience. A magical experience. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. Like even like I would go to, you know, there's a sauna next door in the Clayton Hotel, and like that sauna's got me through some really hard times. Mm-hmm. Like literally like popping in like before work or after work, and like you do the really, really ice cold shower. I'm always begging them, please put a plunge pool in at least.
Oh, plunge pool makes such a difference.
It makes such a difference. But you know, like you said earlier, it's like that relaxation is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you can dive into like some more of like the research behind it, like really good for your heart. Mm. Some people would say it's very good for your mental health. Mm. The hot and the cold stress, is really good for your stress levels and all that sort of stuff. So the fact that you now have put it on a beach, it's like you've like compounded like a multiplier effect where it's like benefits of sauna plus benefit of beach plus benefit of sea plus benefit of salt and air. And you're like, oh my goodness.
It's a good combination, right?
It is a deadly combination.
But
it's
you
so
know,
good.
It's so funny because with the sea swimming, we actually got in. I mean, we moved back to Northern Ireland. A couple of our friends were like, let's do a sea swim once a month. And we kind of got a little bit into it then. But when then I got pregnant, I had like really severe morning sickness. It's like it was actually hyperemesis in the end up I was diagnosed, so it was like pretty bad. But the only thing that like relieved my like sickness in any way was getting into the water. But there was days when I was just too sick to even get in the car or travel to the beach. But I mean, like that became such a big thing for me, because then any day that I was like stressed or any day that I was like getting really bad like nausea or emotions, because like you're pregnant, like Carl was just like, right, we're going to the beach.
Get this woman in the water right now.
And honestly, like, even quite recently, I was having a bit of an emotional day, and Carl was like, right, get in the car, we're going to the beach.
He just holds the towel up, he's like, are you ready?
Yeah. It's, you know what, because in February this month, I decided, I don't know why I decided to do it, it was a stupid idea, to do like a month of sunrise swimming.
Awesome.
I hate morning, so like, I'm not, neither of us are morning people at all. It was the best thing I've ever done. It was so amazing. And I think that was it. It was like come March, I was having a bit of a come down from like not having my like sunrise swim. And it was like the middle of the afternoon and Carl was just like, right, we need to get you in the water.
I didn't like the fact that it was in the morning though. Because that made me have to look after the wee man.
Yeah.
Every morning for a month.
For a whole month.
How do you go from being, you know, big fans? You have the article sent to you. You have the idea. It's been in the back of your head for a while. How do you actually then go and start a business? Because I think that's the bit that, like, people just find so mysterious. Because so many people sit on ideas and they sit on them and they sit on them and they sit on them. Mm-hmm. How did you actually make it a reality?
Well, it's funny because I think, like, just after we started to plan it and we started to think about it and we're really like, yeah, we're going to do this. Then COVID hit and we did stop for quite a long time and didn't do anything. And then slowly we started to realize, okay, COVID isn't going away. And if we were both not working, and although I'm getting maternity pay, like we need to start making some money at some point.
It felt like it wasn't, if you at least compare it to buying the old, the dilapidated schoolhouse, it was a much smaller, like, investment somehow. So I don't know. It felt more like it.
Yeah.
It was more of an experiment sort of thing. And then we applied for this grant that allowed for some funding that way.
Yeah, tell us about that, because that is such a great part of your story as well. Because it's like fair play in Northern Ireland. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
do you know what? It's been so great, because we actually couldn't be doing this now without it. So it's like a DERA grant. It was for rural micro business growth scheme.
Development.
It's really long title. I can't really remember it. But yeah, so we had been planning this and we designed the sauna and everything ourselves, and we found this sauna company that we were really excited to work with. And then we realized like our initial costing of like, what's going to cost this much, just went up and up and up and up. And we could have bought, I mean, you get mobile saunas you can buy off the shelf, but they just weren't the quality we wanted, and they weren't the standard. And we wanted something that not only looked good, but also the actual quality of the sauna was amazing.
And just to jump in, I think that's the thing that surprised me the most about Saturday. It's just like, it's like a world-class spa-level sauna on the beach. Like, I was expecting a joke with you. It's like, someone's going to get a horse box and throw a sauna into it.
Well, do you know, our original concept was a horse box. Because actually, that's like, if you look at mobile saunas around the UK, the majority of them are horse boxes. Yeah. And I'm sure you can make, like, a super nice sauna inside a horse box. But
even the wood and the stove, it's like, this is one of the nicest things I've ever seen. Never mind it being on the beach. You know? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so that
need it to be special, right?
Yeah, like it. I think it has to be, and like, I think because it maybe coming from a bit of an architecture background too. I think for me, like how things look and how they're designed, it is important. Also, no credit to like real architects because I'm a terrible architect. But like the stuff like that was important to us, so we were like, no, we don't want to go with one of those ones. We want to go with one we're really proud of, and we want to stand behind this product and say, yeah, this is amazing. So we. Like I said, the costing was going up and up and up, and we were getting to the point where we're like, oh, this is actually maybe not a reality. And then my aunt sent me a link and was like, did you know that there's this grant you can apply for? So we applied for it. There was like, I think a huge number of applications went in for it. I think probably the fact that we're doing something so different was probably worked in our favor.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, we managed to get through, and then we had the whole application process. Like, I think anybody who's applied for grants knows it's just like, it's a lot of paperwork. But actually, we've had really good contacts, and they've been so helpful and so nice. And I think at the end of the day, they want you to get the money. Totally. So they are going to help you, but it is a lot of work to get there. And we're still got like one or two last little hurdles we have to get over before the money is in our bank account, but we are counting down the days. We're getting to that point now where our bank account is so low.
You're like starting to hold your breath. You're like, come on, Dara, let's go. Because it's like half of your startup costs.
It's half of our startup costs. Yeah. So it's really amazing. Like I said, couldn't do it without it.
It doesn't sound like it when Anna talks about it as well, but she's really good with like this type of thing, I think, to like submit that application. Like, you know what to put down where, sort of. Like, I think that's,
I don't know.
I'm sort of impressed by that. That's, I would awesome. Say it wouldn't have worked if it was me, I can tell you that.
Well, changing gears slightly then, like something that also surprised me about Saturday is how big it is.
Yeah, that surprised us too.
So it's on like a trailer that you guys bought, and then it's all custom built, but like, you know, it obviously fits six people, but then there's like a changing facility on it as well.
Yeah, and actually unreal. That's something I was talking to someone recently, and they were saying, so where would I get changed? And I was like, oh, no, it's a good changing room. And then I realized we don't actually tell anybody that. We're really bad at explaining our product to people or selling it, but
it's a hard product to explain as well. I think you kind of have to go and see it. And
once
go
you
and
see it, it's a magical experience even just to see it. Yeah. My word.
This is great.
Yeah,
you can
just
talk the rest of the time. Yeah. Can just talk about the song. Yeah, it's like minute by minute play of what happens.
Yeah. So many people actually walk past and they're like, oh, do you smell that? Oh, and then they come up and they're like, so you're doing wood burning pizza?
Yeah. What are you cooking? It's like, sort of, but you are the pizza. You have to get inside.
Get some cheese on you and go in.
And I love, like, people are so curious because I love, you know, there's an amazing window in the front of the sauna, so you're sitting there, like, looking out over the sea. And then, like, people are walking by and they're just like, what is going on in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, what's like, that curiosity factor is, like, unreal. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about your launch then, because you've just had your launch.
Yeah, we just had our launch. We're actually kind of doing another launch event this weekend, so it's going to be a full-on weekend. Mm-hmm. Sunday was just yourself, really. It's all about you. So we had, like, just family and friends coming down. Actually, the reception we got was so much better than we were even expecting. Like, we were hoping it was going to go well, but we had so many people coming up and talking to us and asking us what it was and just really intrigued. So our first person that came up to us, it was so amazing. We had just driven down onto the beach. There was a lot of people who had been camped or like in their camper vans or tents overnight, and we were there for 8 a.m. because we have to be there like a couple hours beforehand, obviously, to get the fire going, get it nice and hot. And we're just driving down, and this couple came over, and they'd been camping the night before, and they were like, really sorry, but what is it? And I was like, yeah, it's a sauna. Do you want to come in and see? And the woman went mental. She was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Can I get inside? This is amazing. But it turned out that they had been talking just about how much this lady loved saunas.
No way.
Yeah, so we were like, this is hilarious. And we were like, well, next time you come camping, like, yeah, you have to come and
book yourself in for a hot
sauna. Book yourself in for a hot sauna. So yeah, it was actually, that was amazing because we had just arrived and that was the first people came up to talk to us and we were like,
perfect.
Oh, you've made our day. It doesn't matter how the rest of the day goes. We just love you guys. So.
No, but everybody who came up were really positive, though. Mm-hmm. A lot of positive feedback on it. But yeah, most people seem to think that it's a food truck of some sort or like a coffee truck. Or what are you serving in here?
But we don't.
You're like, oh, it's a sauna. Yeah. Oh, really? Wow, like it's.
Yeah, we don't mind what you think it is as long as you come up and talk to us. Yeah.
Have a look inside and then, come and try it out.
But I think even like our friends, because we just invited friends just to say, okay, does this kind of like time slot work? And how's it going to work when we're actually booking people in? And even our friends, I think, were pleasantly surprised. They were just like, this is so much better, or this is so cool. I mean, they're also your friends, so they're going to tell you that, but I think they were genuine. Yours was probably the best reaction. To be fair. It was just when you came out and you were like, I feel like I've just got my hit.
I think my actual words were, I feel like a heroin addict that's just gone again. But there is something so euphoric about that whole experience, you know? Utterly unbelievable. Like.
And actually quite a lot of people that we didn't expect to get into the water either were just like, so we got to get in the water. And you were like, well, yeah, it's better if you do that. You don't have to, but that's the way to do it. And they were like, right. And then they were in and out of the water four times or three times. And you're like, oh, this is cool. People actually doing it properly and they're getting into it. And I think that does make the experience.
It really does.
Well, it's about repeating it, isn't it? Like you have to reset after you heat it up. You need to cool down and then you can.
Yeah, you're in the sauna and all of a sudden you're looking at that water. You're like, I'm hungry for that water.
Yeah.
My body's ready.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to jump in.
And you become almost invincible to it after some time in there.
And then in the sea, you're looking at the sauna. You're like, I'm ready for that sauna.
Definitely ready for that when you're in the sea. That's more of an understandable thing.
So, I mean, big launch sale on the weekend. You have your website up and going, which looks great, by the way. Who did your brand and all? Because it's so nice.
This is like my best friend, Sarah Semple. My best friend, Sarah Semple.
Shout out.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
That's what I described her as all my life, my best friend, Sarah Semple. She is living and working in Switzerland, and she is like a superstar. She's pretty much done all of our branding in her spare time. Is just like working two other full-time jobs and has done everything for us.
Crazy.
And she's amazing. And it's, I love it. I love it so much.
And it's, you know, it's nice because it's kind of like, I was talking to someone else in here actually the other day about you guys. And we were saying, it's interesting because it's like a low-tech business meets high-tech in a way. Because, you know, you've got this website and you've got these like automated scheduling slots so people can come on and book and pay and then
and
show up.
We hope it's pretty straightforward.
It is. It's super great. And Squarespace, you know, shout out to them. They're class. What does it feel like whenever you get that notification that someone's booked in for a hot slot?
Well, actually, because when we just did it live, we had done this thing on like a little bit of a launch on Instagram. And as soon as we put it live, our phone just went bing. And the two of us just went, like we were buzzing.
You made that noise, Carl. Really? Is that the truth?
that is exactly the noise I made.
I think I even emailed that person and was just like, you made our day.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it is. Every time you get, to be honest, every time I get any email now, I'm like, is it a booking? Is it a booking? But no, it feels really good. Especially like, I mean, this has been like a year and a half of us trying to get this together and put it together. And we're really excited about it. So I think it's just, you get excited when other people are wanting to try it or experience it. So that's pretty much part of it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, long may it continue. And what's your days? Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah. So at the moment we're Thursdays to Sundays. If we start getting more bookings, we'll probably run a few more days.
I mean, people are ready for it. Like, it's perfect timing. Like, everyone's so... People haven't been in the sauna for, like, a year. They're dying for it. You know, it's the perfect time as well, getting out of lockdown. It's so good.
I hope so.
And it's a little bit of a special treat when you're on the beach. Yeah. Instead of just walking up and down it, just come and experience something new mm-hmm. when you're down there. It's also like, I mean, it is such a beautiful view to look out from that window and just, you know, see the Atlantic Ocean and see Anishinaabe. Or depending how we park, we could park so we can look at Mazandaran Temple and the other way. Like, no matter where you look, you're looking at something
really
nice.
We'd really like at some point, too, to take it further down the beach because there's, like, beautiful waterfalls and the cliffs behind. And I think that would be just so stunning to be based beside a waterfall, Mazandaran Temple one way, Anishinaabe the other. And also, we're really big. Like, we really want to start promoting, like, more sunset saunas because for us, that's the time to do it. Like, it's so cozy in there. The sun's going down. It feels really lovely. And also, like, it's so good for your sleep. Like, honestly, every time you have a sauna, you just sleep like a log. So to do it, like, in the evening time, it's really nice. That's when we always do ours at home. So
I actually, I'm actually embarrassed to say this. I'm scunder, but I'm going to say it anyway. I, like, during lockdowns, sometimes like to camp out in my back garden in a tent, like on like a Sunday night.
That's so cool.
Because I'm like, I really miss like going with your mates and like going up the moorings or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that night I literally got in my tent and I swear I like didn't even have enough layers with me and I slept through the whole night. I like a log and I was like, thank goodness for the sauna.
Do you know what? It's funny too, because I think like obviously starting up a business, like any business, it's pretty stressful.
Yeah, it is.
And like it feels like a lot of pressure. And there'd be days where I was just like, fizzing with like probably stress and nervous excitement, and then you go and you have a sauna and like within 5 minutes you're so chilled out, you're so relaxed,
the world's actually okay,
and you're like, you know what, at the end of the day I get to sit in a really nice sauna, and then you go and you sleep well. And I think that's amazing, the fact that you sleep well when your mind is so busy and like constantly turned on. Yeah, to have a good night's sleep, and you've got like a 1.5-year-old son. I know, any sleep is welcome.
Well, like I said, like, you know, in the real like stressful parts of my business, like that sauna, literally, it was just a crutch. It was so good. So I really hope that actually, I really think like this is a wider sort of conversation, but I think Northern Ireland is really primed to have more of an outdoor culture than it does.
Yeah.
Like I look at Scandinavian countries and there's a huge outdoor culture, even though the weather's not great.
Yeah, the weather is the same, I think.
Yeah, and it's just a mindset over here. Yeah. And I think one of the other reasons why I'm so excited about what you guys are doing is you're kind of like, look, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the water's cold, but look, there's other ways around it.
Yeah.
Well, I think for us too, like, everybody kept saying, like, oh, it's really good, you're starting in summertime. And we were like, yeah, but for us, the
winter's
best time
be
is when winter is when you want to do it, right? Yeah. You want a freezing cold day that's rainy and miserable, like proper Northern Irish weather. Mm. And then you want to sit in this hot, hot box looking out at miserable weather, but feeling amazing.
Yeah, 100%. That's the best. That's the best,
That's where we're at.
And, you know, hopefully bring sauna culture to Northern Ireland as well.
Well, do you know,
raise the profile off it. Because it's so good for people. And I think people here would love it if they just give it a chance. Like your parents. Mm-hmm. Like they're now sold on it.
I know my dad is our biggest fan. Every night he comes down sauna on. Oh, Dad.
He has suffers a little bit from like sciatica pains. And says that helps for that. So like in all the...
But you know there's actually an old tradition in Ireland for like these things called sweat houses. I don't know if we talked about this on Sunday.
I did not know this.
So someone actually brought it to our attention, but it's like an Irish phenomenon there where they would like build into the ground like or these like mounds, these like stone walls, like little caves. And it was always like in rural locations.
It was for rural workers.
Yeah.
I think,
and they would go and build a big fire in there and leave it burning all day. And then they would pull it out. And if you were like sick, you were prescribed by the doctor to go and sweat it out.
Unbelievable. It's probably where that term comes from.
Yeah. And the best preserved one is like, is it Mahara or something like that in all of Ireland?
Unbelievable.
We went to visit it.
The heritage?
I know.
You need to like park the sauna up there someday and do a big heritage thing.
Well, and then they were saying, it was really funny because they were saying for girls, there was one over in Rathlin Island, I think. And they were saying for the girls who were working with the seaweed and stuff, I think it was, before the Lammas Fair in Ballycastle every year, they'd go have a sauna to clear their complexion.
Wow.
I know, I was like, this is so cool. This is something that they were doing in Ireland, what, like 100 like years ago?
Yeah.
And it then just completely died out.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows about it now. So it's like, although it's not proper sauna, it's like our version of the sauna.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Sweat house. Yeah, it's nice to go and see them, actually. It's
mental, it's really, what they crawled into. Yeah. It's like these tiny little spaces as well.
People were smaller then, sure. Unreal. So yeah, look, I mean, there's always there's a series of kind of stock questions that I like to end every episode with. So just like moving into that and landing the plane a bit. And feel free to take these whatever way you want, personal, professional, about the sauna, not about the sauna. But the first one is, out of everything you've experienced so far, what would you describe as the most challenging moment? You've probably shared yours, Carl, but if there's anything else other than
lymphoma.
That small detail of your life.
That's nothing compared to childbirth.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, even your childbirth was probably my most stressful moment. I think that...
At one point, I was being rushed through the hospital and just turned around to Carl being like, don't worry, Carl, it's all going to be okay. Don't worry.
I was
Carl,
stressed.
Carl, do you want to hold my
hand? Yeah.
You okay, hon?
Oh, no, that was a difficult day or night. For sure.
I'm genuinely terrified of having any more children.
Yeah.
That's not great there.
Yeah. Well, I also love seeing your wee one there, even on the beach. Like, he's just going to have such a great upbringing over these next few years of life, like just always being about there. Yeah.
We're trying to get, like, the earliest date he can get hooked in with Dan from Longline. Like, Dan, when can you start teaching him to surf? Take him off our hands for a few hours.
It could be the ultimate, like, world champion origin story. It's like, yeah, you know, like, my mom and dad, they just set up this sauna. I don't know why he would speak with that accent all of a sudden.
Because he's a surfer now.
Because he's a surfer, exactly.
I think it could go one of two ways. It could be really that, or it could just be he could completely rebel against sauna and just be like...
That's it, I'm moving to a concrete jungle.
Yeah, hate the beach, hate being outside. I just want to be inside of my computer games all
build
day.
Build his own cryo chamber.
He's an ice freak. Yeah. You're like, no, you became the very thing I pose. Yeah. What about the most successful moment then so far?
Most successful, I think, well...
Or proudest moment is another way of thinking about that.
Well, again, childbirth, right? Like, that's... it's all
about Sixton.
It's all about Sixton, isn't it? Yeah. He's amazing.
We do this for you, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it meant to be sauna related?
No.
I do think, like, yeah, I mean, Sixton, yeah, definitely.
What does Sixton mean, by the way?
More words that are hard to say in English. Etymology. Meaning of it is victory stone. Ooh. So it's an old Norse name, actually, but it's been sort of modernized spell. Like, it was a very popular name, I think, around like turn of the century in Sweden. But it would be like Seistan or Seirstan would be like the old way of pronouncing it. Oh, probably.
Not pronouncing it,
butchering my own language here, but like, yeah, but it's it's just Sten is stone, obviously, and then Seir would be like victory stone.
Love that.
It was pretty much, we like had accident, we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl, and we accidentally kept calling him like Sixton the whole way through my pregnancy.
As you do, I mean, everyone does that. Yeah.
And then
pretty normal.
When he came out, and they were like, what's his name? And we just like, we're like, don't know. And I was like, I guess it has to be Sixton because this is definitely a victory. Yeah. Like, I think at that point I was so past it. So
yeah,
just...
you were pretty past it. It was, but yeah, they were, none of them knew what we were saying. I think it's just one.
Right.
But
that's lovely. Yeah. That's lovely.
We get so many reactions for his name. It's so great. But the best reaction I've ever had was in, what's his name, love? Sixton. What? Sixton. What? Sixton. Literally like 6, 10 put together. Yeah. Sixton. Nah, just can't get it.
poor child.
What
have we done? Yeah, what have we done?
We have really relegated him to a life of like so much.
What's his middle name? Does he have a middle name?
Eric.
That's a family
name. The most Swedish name, which we actually had... we were going to call him a different middle name, and then we decided it was too Swedish, so we called him Eric.
Which is like...
I know. And then a few weeks later...
We failed.
Well, a few weeks later, we
poor
were...
child.
We were like in the hospital, and someone called him Sixten Eriksson. And I was like, of course, Eric is the most Swedish name.
Yeah.
So his name is Sixten Erik Isaksson. If people can say Sexton, they can say Sixten, right?
They can. But and they will.
They will.
We will educate them, and so will his life.
Do you know what?
So will his.
Children, like, it's so funny when you tell children his name, they're like, oh yeah, Sixten, easy. I think it's more adult.
By the way, I hope he listens to this number. He's like 18 and he's just sitting there, he's like, he's either like, thank you mum and dad, or he's like, what have you done to me?
he'll legally change his name by that stage.
Okay, so if you could take anyone from Northern Ireland out for what am I about saying, he said out for a cup of coffee, that would be outrageous. If you could have a conversation with anyone in the hot box from Northern Ireland, dead or alive, who would you take and why?
Oh, I know who I would take.
Oh, mate, straight in, go.
Straight in, Seamus Heaney.
Oh, he would love that. Right, we hear this. I was listening to the Desert Island Discs thing of him that he did.
I didn't know he did one of those.
Mate, honestly, I was so amazed whenever I discovered it. I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I'm not really sure. And his item, the favourite thing that he would bring, he says, yeah, my son just bought me a pair of Doc Martin boots. I quite like them. And I was like, Seamus Heaney, the poet, loves Doc Martin boots. Get him in the sauna, he'd love them.
That is so cool. Actually, the most random thing that ever happened to me was whenever I was studying in Stockholm, I was there with an Irish friend, and we found out that the local library was having a Seamus Heaney night. And we were like, oh my goodness, a little bit of home, let's go to this. Whole thing was in Swedish. We're like, how do you translate Seamus Heaney into Swedish? Like, you don't get the language. You don't get the, like... the way he like expresses himself.
Seamus Heaney in the hot box. Can you please write a poem about this afterwards?
Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, it'd be pretty nice.
For myself, I don't know. Can I be
slightly harder for you?
Well, might be. Can I be like, I'm standing outside of politics, but it would be pretty interesting to get like. Oh, should I say this?
You can say absolutely.
Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley, both the same in there. They might relax them a little
that
bit.
That would be a really interesting skit for someone to even make.
Yeah.
There is a movie, I don't know if you've seen it, and them in the car, isn't it?
Yeah, that was what I was thinking of.
Like, imagine them in the sauna.
They told us about
them in the sauna.
Carl's parents told us about that movie, but we couldn't get it here. They could get it in Sweden, but we couldn't get it here. So
that's so typical of streaming services. Like, I have thought about, like, there is this series on YouTube of I think it's called Hot Ones, and the guy, like, after each question gives someone increasingly hot wings.
I
thought, like, we need to do a podcast series in the sauna. It's like, it's that, like, longevity factor where
of,
it's like...
How long can you stay in?
The 15-minute mark, like, people are dying, and that's where you hit them with, like, the big, heavy-hitting question. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, you know what? If you want to do that, we'll make that happen. Once COVID is allowed for the safety aspect of it. 100%. Yeah. That would be really fun. That'd be good.
That'd be good, I've seen, I think, Gordon Ramsay on that show, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mate, I'd love to interview Gordon Ramsay in a sauna.
Be a lot of swearing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So look, final question then, and this is the place that we end every episode. And it's a very simple question, but if you could catch up for a couple of minutes with an 18-year-old version of yourself, and you had like a few minutes of like 18-year-old Anna or 18-year-old Carl's time, what sort of things would you say to them?
That's hard. Just don't stress about things. Like, things are not gonna, like, whatever you're expecting, it's not gonna turn out that way, like, that you think it will. So, I don't know. Don't stress so much about things.
Yeah, that's hard,
Things seem to work out eventually.
We hope.
Well, it's not over yet, but it has thus far.
I don't know. I think pretty much tell yourself, like, what you think is going to happen is not what is going to happen.
No, exactly.
So just enjoy it. It's hard.
Sounds like I didn't enjoy it now when I was 18. But yeah, but I, like, you know, just stressless.
I think I had a lot of like preconceptions either, because I was pretty open-minded. But now looking back, I think, I mean, you don't ever recognize yourself when you look back either, do you?
Mm-mm.
I think the 18-year-old myself would not have expected me to live in Northern Ireland setting up a mobile salon.
I think you're probably right.
Well, yeah. Someone once told me when I was 18 years old that I was ahead of my time. And I think it was they were trying to tell me I wasn't very cool. So, but you know what? I'm pretty happy with that. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have no idea what I would tell myself.
I'm going to try out a new question, okay?
Okay.
This is even harder, so please. It's like, I'm so sorry for laying this on you, but someone asked me this the other day and it absolutely floored me.
Where's the pause button in this?
Yeah, I know. And look, here's the thing. I imagine this will evoke, you know, a 30-second pause. Mm-hmm. This is a fun place to end. Maybe I'll start to end here. Mm-hmm. What's the kindest thing someone's ever done for you?
Do you know what? It's probably as simple as someone giving you a hug in the right moment.
Mm.
And there's definitely been like a few instances in my life where it's just someone has recognized that you needed that. And yeah, reached out and put their arms around you. And somehow I think that's the kindest. Mm. I can't maybe give you specific.
No, it's so good.
I don't know. What were you?
No, but it's yeah, probably quite similar. But like everyone is who's like puts up with me. You know, I'm saying my family and my new family, like that's mm-hmm. who are always there. Like that's the kindest thing.
Mm. That's a super hard question.
That's a really, yeah.
What did you answer?
Ask your parents that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I answered after this because, you know, this show's not about me.
Can't we turn it into you?
But that could be your like hotbox question. You like, peek your head in. Mm. Guys, while you're just sitting here for a second, like, let me just.
What's the kind of thing? You know, I'm going to be thinking about that all day. And then I'm going to be like kicking myself when I think about something. No, I'm like,
your answers were gorgeous, though. Really, really gorgeous.
Oh, I don't know.
So yeah, look, I mean, that's us. Thank you so, so much for giving up your time. Thanks so much for allowing us to come and try out the hotbox. Like, it was just an absolute dream come true. And really appreciate you coming into Belfast today to do this. Honestly, really, really class. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
it's been really good. My mom yesterday, whenever I was trying really hard not to think about having to do this, because I was so nervous, came into the kitchen and was just like, asking me all these questions. She was like, you have no idea. You have no idea how lucky you are to be on the show. I've been listening to it all day, Anna. I can't believe you're going on it. And my dad is there going like, shut up. And is already nervous. But yeah, so I do feel like, I don't know why but it's been really cool. So thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to the mum. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
She will be listening now. My dad's our number one fan, but my mum's your number one fan.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for letting us come.